Welcome back to the Campbell's Footballs Podcast with me, Dr. Grant Campbell. We're moving back to talking about life in the PIL, the Premier Intermediate League, and we're going to be sharing a spotlight in this episode of the show on the current league leaders. We've been recording this on the 9th of February, Limavady United, and I'm delighted to be joined by their manager, Paul Owens. Paul, a warm welcome to the show.
Thank you, Grant. Thanks for having me.
It's been a really exciting season for Limavady, hasn't it? I mean, you know, as we record this, as I said, you know, you're leading the league. It's so competitive to see a side like Limavady at the top of the table, especially in a new Premiership Intermediate League, which is very hotly contested.
Yes, it has. It's been a good start to the season so far. And like realistically, like the trophies that we would have targeted, we're still in. We've won the Craig Memorial on Boxing Day, which is, you know, I think it was the first time in 5 or 6 years the club had won a trophy. And the league is currently sitting okay at the minute. And with the Northwest Senior Cup, it was just actually postponed a couple of weeks ago against Stinsonship. They look forward to it. And then next week, we have, I think it's the last 16 of the Intermediate Cup. So things are going well at the minute. But as you all know, there's a long way to go yet.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's been a really intriguing time of things for you, because this is your sort of first real step into management, isn't it? Because you were very much involved with Coleraine for a period of time. How has it been for you to kind of get involved in the management game?
Well, this is actually my second spell at Limavady, so it is.
Okay.
I was there as a player manager, 8 or 9 years ago. So we were, right. We enjoyed a good bit of success. We had two trebles in the Premier Intermediate. The first one, as weird as it sounds, we won back-to-back trebles, but there was a license issue with the first year, so we couldn't get up. So we had a rebuild and go again, and we had lost a lot of players, the senior footballer. Just off the top of my head, like Cahir Friddle had a real successful season that year. He had 46 goals and moved to Ballymena. But then we won it the second year, which finished off with the Intermediate Cup, and then we got up into the Championship, and we finished 9th in the Championship. At the time, I was really disappointed we were 9th, to be honest. I thought we had more on us, and we had just missed out in the top 6 of the split, and I felt we took our eye off the ball for maybe a month or two, and I just thought there was this mentality that we'll be fine, and we ended up finishing 9th out of 12th, but I wasn't happy, to be honest. But if, you know, when you look back on reflection now, whenever you leave, like 9th in your first year up was actually, it's pretty good, but at the time, just thought there was more on us. And then I've obviously came back, I think it was November or December, I came back last year, and similar to my first spell there, it was a real good, gave me a good 6 months to get a look at the squad and get a look of what we needed or how close we could get. And we done really well last year, to be honest. We had a slow start, and we had, I think at one stage we were maybe 17 points behind the playoff, and we got it back to 6 before the split. And went to Ballymacash and had a real chance to close the gap to 3, but we lost that day. And that's, to be honest, I probably finished the season off. I think we finished 4th in the end up, but you know, it was good. And you know, I learned a good bit about the league back then, and that 6 months on us, to be honest, has been a massive help going into this season.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the player management thing is quite an interesting dynamic. And I think, you know, coming into it just as purely as a manager this time, I think that was what my question was sort of alluding to. You get a different scope and a different view case of the league.
Massively. Like obviously were preparing as a player. I just left Coleraine at the time, and I probably didn't have the influence on the pitch at Limavady as I should have, but there was obviously being distracted and worrying about 20 odd players instead of just worrying as yourself. I think it definitely took a little bit away from my own game, but just maybe trying to look at the game a bit differently during the half and coming in at half time and trying to do things that, you know, looking back now, it probably wasn't. I really enjoyed it and it was a brilliant experience, but probably didn't maximise any potential I would have had as a manager back then. But I do feel I've learned a lot over not just the first spell, and then I think a good 5 years working under Warren Kearney as well, which is also a great learning, and I've been able to take that under this role this time.
Well, we'll talk about Oran and your time with Coleraine a little bit later on in our discussion, but I want to sort of bring it all the way back to really the sort of beginning of your time involvement with football and, you know, really kind of getting into it at the start. What was your kind of routine at the beginning? How did you kind of get involved in football in the first place?
Well, it's obviously back then a lot different than it is now. I'm involved coaching my son at the minute, who's 10, and they're able to play football since they're 4, obviously, at this age. They're at it from no age, really. But My first memory is, I think it was around primary six, primary seven, and around the school teams. And then there was a team, local team formed called Newton. It was only maybe a year or two above me. It had only started, and we played the D&D league, and it was two local men that were, they're still about to this day. But it was a brilliant wee club and well run, and obviously the usual kids, all the parents and all involved, and driving you from here and there. It was great times. Like, and we had a very, very good year, age group that year. We had three or four people ended up in England, and well, even our chairman, current chairman now, Mark Clyde, went on to play for Northern Ireland. I played junior football with him, well, youth football with him, sorry. And he moved on to Wolves, and he ended up playing in the Premier League. So it was a good time. It was brilliant, you know, at that young age, and you just play with no fear. And it's probably, looking back, it's one of the best days of your life playing as a kid.
Yeah, I think it's absolutely fantastic to always look back on your early memories and how it sort of shapes your sort of footing in the game. Did you have any inspirations and idols following football in Northern Ireland or even further afield, even watching the English Premier League or anything like that?
I was a big United fan, still am to this day, but I always remember my early days would have been Giggs, and then when Beckham came on the scene, I was a probably out and out winger back whenever I was younger, and I was just hanging to the left wing and putting crosses on, and I just always thought I was a young David Beckham coming up. I was just like everybody else, did your Adidas, Predators, you had everything. I loved him when I was growing up, he was quality.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a Man United fan myself, so I was really delighted that you said Giggs and Beckham there because they were my idols growing up, particularly Giggs. I thought he was absolutely unbelievable. But Beckham just made things happen, didn't he? Especially from set pieces and free kicks. He was just an absolute master of them.
Oh, brilliant. He was brilliant. He could do me somewhere to come now.
I mean, as you're sort of working your way into the game, did you always sort of see yourself as a winger growing up, or did you kind of feel like you wanted to mold into a more central position or a more striker, more defensive? Did you always sort of knew in your early stages, I want to play out wide, I want to be the person that's taking people on down the sides?
No, not really. It was a lot different back then, because it was more or less your left footer played in the left and your right footer played in the right, and 4-4-2, and that was the real way. Even maybe to around my mid-20s, I think I always played in the left wing. And then I think I moved to Carrick. When I moved to Carrick and then on to Corrie Inn, I think it was probably my first memories. I moved to Carrick and there was Paul Heatley on the left, and I ended up playing on the right. And then when I went to Corrie Inn, I think the likes of Ryan McElmoy, Davis Cullion and stuff, so we were always just rotating right and left. But that's something that I had never done when I was younger, but I really enjoyed it. I loved coming in on your left foot and stuff like that. And I think the more positions you can play, obviously it helps you more. But when I'm back at Limavady, I just, again, I probably played number 10 a lot of times, centrally, or I just felt like a couple of wee stunts at left back in my younger days, but it wouldn't have been the most, it wouldn't have been the best in the air, to be honest.
Paul Heatley there. I mean, what a career he's had, isn't he? I mean, he went to Crusaders and he's just having a phenomenal time of things, isn't he? And he's just magnificent. And what did you gauge from people like Paul? Did you know that he had the talent to go and make it at a higher level?
Well, I think his stories, I think he was at maybe a Ballyclare or somewhere. I'm not even sure, actually. I think it might have been a lower league team. But he signed for Carrick that year in the Championship. I think they went on to win the treble. We had, I think it was the January that Owen went to left Limavady, and they had just popped us to the league. And then when Stevie Small took me to Carrick, so, but I fully was aware of the damage that Paul Heatley had done in the Championship. But like, I'd only a short spell at Carrick. I went 6 months, and then I went to Corrie Inn in that January. But I do have good memories of Paul and a good relationship with Paul, and I just always something that sticks in my head. I just remember players giving him a hard time for missing a chance and stuff, and I always just remember it sitting in my head. I just kept thinking he's actually creating everything himself here, and boys in the change room where you can't be missing them chances. And I mean, I was just thinking, geez, give the wee man a break, he's just beat three players. You take him out of the team and absolutely got nothing. But that was just my memories. But he went on, listen, he had a brilliant career, and you know, we still going yet. That's probably about 35, 36, and fair play to him.
Yeah, absolutely. And Carrick Rangers, you mentioned that you were involved with them, working with Stephen Small, who is doing a very good job at Ballyclare Comrades. What was he like as a manager?
He was very good. He took me up there, so obviously I was, you know, my break back in the Premier League. I had a short spell when I was younger with Tommy Wright, but I have a good relationship with Stevie. I've just signed a goalkeeper off him a year ago, but he's doing really well back there as well. So I thought he'd done really well, but I think it was around September, October, I picked up a bad injury at the Oval. And then by the time I came back around, I don't even know, maybe in November, someone tells me, I think he had lost his job at that point. But I think Carrick, I'm not sure if Carrick went down that year, but I still think Stevie would have had enough to keep us up. There was enough quality in that change room. And I have a lot of time for Stevie and
Yeah, no, he's a very good manager, and I'm really pleased to see him doing well at Ballyclare. They're right up there in the championship, and
I was
obviously.
surprised to see him out of football. I think he was out of football for about 8 or 9 years. I was surprised to see it, but it's good to see him back on it.
Yeah, very much so. No, I mean, that Carrick side, you mentioned Paul Healy there. Any other players who really kind of shone when you were involved at the club at the time?
Well, David McLendon, I travelled with him, left with him at Carrick. He was club captain at the time, and get a great career at Clerkenwell. And then I think he even actually went back to Clerkenwell. But Aaron Harmon, he went on to play for Glentoran as well. And Johnny Addis, believe it or not, it's a strange one because I remember he scored 2 weeks ago. He scored two against Newry, and Clerkenwell threw him up front, and I seen him do it there on Sky or not on Sky on BBC the other night, but. Believe it or not, Johnny was coming through at Carrick as a striker, as about an 18-year-old, which is strange to see him doing centre half and doing so well later on in his career. But that's an horrible. He's went on, had a top career and doing really well.
You didn't
Good to see.
expect him to roll out his best Vincent Kompany impression, though.
He was a good striker too, I'll tell you that. And it's no surprise that Clifton will keep throwing him up front.
Yeah. He's a brilliant player and a really good
Yeah.
professional. And you're absolutely right. I think he's done
He's a
fantastic.
lovely lad too.
Yeah. So you moved to Coleraine. What st stimulated that move?
It was a strange one because I was traveling up to Carrick myself. This is my memories of it. I think I was down to one night a week at this stage. It was sort of, I was grinding me down. I was working at Korean, going on, leaving the house early in the morning with my lunch, my dinner. I just remember it was just getting me down, and I was going to go back to Limavady. And it was David Platt was at Limavady at the time, and there has been a bit of conversations. And it was Michael Hughes that took the Carrick job, and. I told him my situation, and he had says about hanging on to January, so that was fine. I was going to see it out to January, and I'd actually everything agreed with him about it. And then I do remember I was playing indoor football and came back, and the girlfriend she had the dinner sitting on the table, and my phone I had a missed call from Warren Kearney, and I mean saying to her like it was a bit random there. And then I says I may ring him back, and he rang him. I mean ringing him back, and he says have you signed? Or I heard you for Limavady, and I says aye, and he goes have you signed? I says well I signed about 10 minutes ago. And he goes, right, go. And it was a bit of old fashioned back then. It was you had to sign the form. So I had to jump in the car. I was just back from indoor football. Sweat beating off me as it would be from indoor. And I had to drive down the road and meet the Limavady secretary walking home in the rain with he was carrying a bag over his head and I had to pull on and tell him, can I have that form back? So listen, Limavady were great about it at the time. And obviously then it was good for me, great for me to sign for a club of the stature of Korean.
And Owen Kearney, you've obviously been involved with him and played in his sides. What was Owen like, or what is Owen like as a man manager, as a person? Because he just comes across as such a gregarious guy, but also very passionate too.
It was brilliant for my career, to be honest. Limavady were, well, we had just stayed up. It was Championship One at the time. We had just stayed up. I think we maybe a game or two to go, and just my career wasn't going the way it, not that I even thought it was, should have been going any better. It was just drifting away. And I remember a friend of mine, who's now my assistant manager, Eddie McLaughlin, he had told me, he had given me a heads up that Owen had got the job and he thinks it'd be great for me. And then I remember Owen meeting us at the end of the season, and I was carrying a bit of weight at the time. And I guess he had someone like I've spoke to 4 or 5 people about you and all about your left foot, but we need to get you fit. And I remember then over that summer I had put the head down and started the gym and stuff like that and came back in pre-season and ended up well turning my career around to be honest, but it was all down to Orne and I ended that season getting Championship Player of the Year and I got 19 goals that year and we just missed out in promotion, I think, with the last game. So I would definitely owe a lot to Orne and then he obviously took me at He took me, or I left Corian to go back to Limavady as a player manager. And after about 3 or 4 years, then I went back to join his coaching staff, which again was, which is an honor. Thank you, most of them. But it was a brilliant 3 or 4 or 4 or 5 years, I think, I had back at Corian. So I've learned a lot from Owen. But I've been very fortunate in my career. I've played under a lot of top managers, and you're always just nitpicking from everybody, really, and pick all the wee experiences you've gained and try and implement it on your change room or in your study.
Absolutely. And that was actually my next question. I mean, obviously you mentioned some of the managers that you've been involved with. I mean, as a manager now yourself, do you look back now on your playing days and say, actually, that's some really good advice that they gave me, or I admire your advice, but I'm going to do it this way. I think you have to look at some of the positives, but also some of the constructive comments as well, because it makes you a better person as a manager, but also it gives you respect of how you could maybe align some advice to players that you're working with as well.
Absolutely. Like, and even the likes of Tommy right back, like I was very interested in coaching from a young age, and when I'd done my coaching badges around 21, 22 or so on. I remember, and I always just remember Tommy right at the time, even if I was on the bench or during a training session, shouting me over and maybe giving me like, I'm doing this because, or what do you think I should do here? Not that he was asking my advice, he was quizzing me. And you know, he obviously had picked up that I was trying to pick things up, or maybe picked up that I was going to go down the line of coaching. But he was brilliant with me as well. And then obviously for Owen to bring me back as a coach, he maybe seen something in me as well. So it's probably something, well, it always was something I wanted to do. But you know, becoming a player manager, I was 32, 33, was probably a little bit earlier than I thought. But listen, that's probably, looking back, it's probably the best decision I ever made.
I mean, it's not uncommon for that. I mean, obviously, there's a few examples in Scotland of players that have done that. Rhys McKay, but Adrianian's being a really good example, quite a young guy, but still taking up some of the management, and they're doing very well in the Championship in Scotland. So it's not new thing, but at the same time, it is quite unusual as well.
No, it is. There was an Irish Scottish manager. I listened to a podcast a while ago. I can't remember him. Who is it? Was it St Mirren or somebody? And he had went to player manager. And I remember, because it just struck home with me as well, because I remember he had said his assistant at the time had convinced him that you have to drop yourself, and that was probably the hardest thing, because you always feel, I know I always did towards the end of my career, I always felt like that I could have made a difference. And maybe my performances at the end before I went back to Korean probably weren't at the level. Well, I know they weren't at the level. My legs were probably going a little bit, but you always still had that belief in yourself that you could, you know, no matter what age you are, if you're just a player, not a coach, and you're sitting on the bench, you always have that confidence in yourself that you can go and make a difference. And but it's whenever you're a player manager and you're putting yourself on and you just maybe repeatedly aren't making the difference, it's probably the hardest part to
Yeah,
realize, right,
definitely.
it's time to start taking myself out. Like, even strangely
Yeah.
enough, and even whenever I was, you know, when I was playing early on, whenever one of them trophies, I always thought the hardest thing was cup finals, leaving people out. And it was mad, because I think we won four cups in my spell, and I left myself out every cup final. I just couldn't. I don't know what it was. I always just thought I'd leave myself out for a cup final. One, the experience on the sideline, but two, I just always thought, listen, I just didn't like leaving people out in a cup final. I think it was intermediate cup I had to play. I think we had a lot of injuries that night, but the earlier cups we had won, I always left myself out and just didn't like leaving people out in a cup final for a player manager. I don't know why, I just didn't feel it was right.
Well, I think it's very magnanimous of you to do that, and also very brave as well. You obviously, going back to the Coleraine thing, the playing days as well. Who were the players that were coming through around the, you know, your first involvement with Coleraine under Oran, and you know, who really sort of shaped your sort of journey there?
Well, it's a difficult one. Corian, well, they're maybe not having the best season this year, but like over the last, whenever I was a coach there, over the last 4 or 5 years, they've been hitting like runner up 2 or 3 years in a row. But whenever I was there as a player, that's, and whatever, you're going back now, 10, 12 years, whatever it was, I think it was around 27, 28, probably even more then. I think it was more or less top six we were fighting for, but like we normally, well, we did get the top six every year, I think. And I think there was a cup final and all in the middle of that, so we weren't exactly. Warren was obviously building something, but we weren't at the top end of the table the way they had been the last few years. But he had a young Gareth Tomlins there at the time. He went on to Australia and then came back. He was player of the year 1 year. He had Stevie Lurie, who was a good friend of mine, who was very young, and he's obviously still going strong and had a great career. He had Howard Beveland, was very good at that. He was a young player coming through. Aaron Cannon, known as Snowy, he was only about 17, 18 at that time. Like, he was, again, he's went on to have a great career as well. But Ryan McElmoy, who was probably one of the best players I ever played with, he ended up, when I went to Korea, and he ended up playing. I remember there was an injury to the left back, and I mean, we all travelled together and we all thought I was coming over to play left back, and Orna just threw a spanner out, and Ryan McElmoy went on the left back, and he ended up in there for maybe 2 years or something, and he was excellent at it. So yeah, he's probably one of the most gifted players I ever played with. But and up higher up the pitch, there was like I think it was Curtis Allen was there at the time, Gary Brown was there. I mean, they'd signed him from Longford. I actually loved playing with him. He was brilliant. And then Stephen Carson came back for a while. Stephen Dooley, he had a wee stint there at the time, but I think it was that he only come home for like a couple of months or so. And there was still top players there, like, but they went on, they probably have best careers, and probably maybe at them early days of Korea, and they weren't probably at their peak, but they obviously went on, they have top careers.
Yeah, I mean, when I first started following the Northern Irish League in 2015, I mean, I always liked Oran's Coleraine team. They're very much similar to the team I follow in Scotland, Aberdeen. You know, players like Darren McCauley, I thought was very impressive. Brad Lyons, who's going on to have a really good time of things over in Scotland with Kilmarnock. Lyndon Kane was very good. Jamie McGonigal was really at the top of his game. I always felt that Coleraine were a really exciting team to watch. They were played a nice brand of football, and you know, they obviously went on and won the Irish Cup. And then obviously, since you came back in to the sort of coaching side of things, they've won the League Cup and obviously I've qualified for Europe. And you know, the journey that the club have been on has been absolutely sensational.
Well, them players you mentioned, that was more in my coaching side when I came back. Obviously, Jamie's returned to the club, but he'd done really well there. So I would sort of half follow them as well. I would agree up with the manager and stuff. So I'd pick a keen interest in them. And Jamie done really well there, scoring in the cup final and stuff. London's obviously still there, had a long career. Brad was one. I think I want to come back, and he had went. Did he go? He went that. I think he went that year, but you knew straight away. Like Brad was destined. He was just such a talent. But I remember at Limavady, even the year before, he had made that real breakthrough, and just even remember popped into my head a goal from Lumfield from about 30, 35 yards, and he was just destined for great things, and he's went on to have a great career. Like so, yeah, there was a great bunch. There's Adam Mullen through, he had a great career as well, and he's just returning from injury. I think there's five or six and came through. It was brilliant. So full credit to whoever took them in the younger age in the academy. They've obviously done great work.
Yeah, absolutely. There is one big memory for yourself at Coleraine that I've got to talk about, and that's that night in Maribor, you know, winning that match on penalties. Just give me your experiences and your memories of that trip, because you know, it was during the COVID pandemic, obviously, but it's still arguably one of Northern Irish football's best European results, I would say.
I don't even you mentioned how you sort of get a little bit of your hair stands up in the back of your head even thinking about it. It was so surreal. It's like the maddest. The big whenever you mentioned the first thing pops into my head was obviously you remember the penalty shootouts and all, but waking up wherever we're at, Slovenia or wherever it was, you're waking up in the morning after the night before. And you know that old hangover feel of what happened. Like you're lying in your own bed in Limavady, like I don't know how many thousand miles away. It was just because of COVID. So it was just so surreal. You're like, what happened last night at the other end of Europe, really? But on the night itself, it was brilliant, the whole trip. But it was really strange because it was through COVID, and I think that if I remember right, the hotel was everywhere was shut, so we had got the hotel open for us through, I don't know, probably some sort of rolling or whatever. And it was just really strange, and went to the ground and brilliant atmosphere. And I just remember their supporters weren't happy, and there was big, I think the manager actually got sacked after, but we done really well in the game. And I think James McGoggin scored a rocket, and didn't they equalize?
Brilliant
And
goal.
they missed a penalty too, am I right? I think
That's right. Yeah.
I think they hit the crossbar. And then I just remember the penalty shootouts, and like even Ian Parkhill, who's playing for me currently at Limavady, the boys they got were just Gareth McConaghy, Ben Doherty, Skinner. They're all just everybody wanted to hit, and it was just such a feeling. It was one of them ones you just knew it was going to happen. And even the boy Kieran Ferris, who's a physio now, and that was his first experience. That's a real funny one because nobody really knew him, and I think he came from the rugby because the current physio, he obviously he couldn't make that weekend. And next thing you know, the final whistle goes on, or it's not the final whistle. Ben Doherty scores a one on penalty, and you just see the physio that he has just met us that day. He's overtaking everybody. I think he's the first boy to greet Ben, and like what there must have been all players and staff and just lying on top of it. It was a brilliant experience. But even you turn around and you're walking off, and you've got the board. When I say board, of just whoever's in a plane, you're just clapping you off, and you hear every clap because the stadium's empty. It was just so surreal. But even the photos, like there's a lot of boys have got photos and stuff and they're in the change room. Just that whole euphoria of what had just happened. I just remember the chairman and all coming, and it was brilliant for that club. But it was just a crazy, crazy night. And even there, when you think about it, the next round was Motherwell,
Motherwell.
and we're 2-0 down at half time, and like deservedly so. Like I just thought they blew us away, and we brought on big Skinner Bradley, and he actually literally flipped the game on his head. And we went out in penalties that night too, and it was just the exact opposite. I think nearly everybody missed their penalty, but I just thought the fact that game went on another 5 or 10 minutes, like they were on their knees, and they just couldn't deal with big Skinner. I'm sure if you ask him, he'll soon tell you.
I mean, I remember that Motherwell game because obviously I follow a lot of Scottish football, and obviously Stephen Robinson was the manager at Motherwell at the time. Trevor Carson was the goalkeeper, and obviously there's a
Yep,
lot of
I
talk about
remember.
him.
I think he saved a couple of penalties, didn't
He saved all three penalties. He was
he?
absolutely unbelievable that night. But you mentioned Owen Bradley's performance. I mean, he gave Bevis Mugabe an absolute nightmare that night. I think he even got him
Oh,
sent off, I think.
yes, I did. I did. I just
He was
remember.
absolutely brilliant. I think he hit the bar an extra time as well, if I remember correctly. He was probably one of the
I
best
remember.
individual performances I've ever seen.
I'm not sure if I'm right here. Was Dermot O'Carroll there? I remember some time or somebody told me since that Dermot O'Carroll had done something or told him. I don't know if he was on that staff at that time about Martin Skinner and how he plays, and I don't think anyone could prepare them for, he's just that big and strong, and when he pans a defender, it doesn't matter what level of football you're playing. And honestly, I've never seen a stronger man at holding the ball in. And it's obviously a Gaelic background, but it didn't matter if they were played for Motherwell or anything that night. When Skinner's in that type of form, it's just what Skinner does in them big nights, really, I suppose.
Yeah,
He's done it all of his
absolutely.
career.
And of course, winning the League Cup as well, the previous campaign, beating Crusaders, it was at that time the last cup final before the COVID pandemic. I mean, that was a pretty special experience.
That was brilliant too. I remember the game so well. I just remember the staff having big chats about the team and stuff. And I think Stephen O'Donnell was out, the club captain was out for a long spell, and then he started the game in midfield, and it wasn't going overly well for us. And I think Aaron Traynor got injured, and Jamie McGonigal scored an early goal, and then we had made a change. I think Aaron Jarvis, someone tells me he had done his like shoulder or something, maybe in that Motherwell game, I think actually. So he had maybe came back or something like that, and there was a couple of wee. I just remember the sub had just, in my opinion, just totally changed the game, and I think Stevie Leary put us back in the game, and then
Yeah,
that was an all great night. And again, the one memory I have of that night is Jamie McGonigal, who's probably one of the best finishers I've ever seen. I just remember one falling for him right on the 90th minute, and he blazed it over the bar. So it was just one of them nights that was in the stars. It was going down the road with us.
No, well, I remember that, and I thought that was a really, really special performance, and that would have given
Just
you a lot of
to come from
confidence
behind
going
in a cup final too is a big, to come from behind in a
completely.
cup final is such a big, big achievement.
And you get that bug from winning things, don't you? I mean, you take it with you throughout your rest of your career, even if you go into coaching and management, which you are in now. And as we're recording this on the 9th of February, you're doing a tremendous job at Limavady. Got a game as we're recording tonight at home to Warren Point Town. Limavady leading the league on 32 points, 10 games, 1 out of 14, 2 draws. I mean, it's a fabulous start to the season for Limavady. Can you keep it going?
Hopefully that's the aim, but it's been a great season, there's no doubt. And it's just like we won the first 10 games of the season, which is obviously which is brilliant, but it was strange enough, I think we had only 9 points. It was just there's so many cups and so many distractions in that league, which is really frustrating. And then I think we lost the game, whatever it was, then we strung a seven together, and that maybe got us 3 or 4 ones. And then the good thing about us, we had a bit of a dip around end of November. We went up to Crumlin Star in the Irish Cup, and they beat us 2-0 in the early and late goal, really. But they were really, really, really impressive and fully deserved the one. We went Glenavon, we lost 1-0, but we were excellent that night. We had three really, really top chances in the first half, and made a real good account of ourselves. And then it was that Saturday we went and we lost 3-0 to Raph Ryland. Which is really like it's a one probably the one game of the season, and even like I'm just trying to protect my players the best I can. I took full responsibility because we were that good against Glenavon, and I just went to the same team, and I probably should have really known like going 90 minutes toe to toe with a Premier League side. We were flat as a pancake on a Saturday, and I should have shoot the squad a little bit better. And then we go to Queens that Saturday, and who were like that's the team in behind us, and we were 3-2 up, and they had a man sent off, and we should have seen the game out, and they ended up scoring a late goal. So it was like four games without a one, which was really frustrating, obviously. But like there wasn't a lot of damage done in the league. We had only lost one and drew one, but then we went on a run. We won the next seven. And the good thing about that, out of that seven, now because the early rounds of the cups were gone, there was a cup final, was allowed us to get our first trophy in the bank, which is massive. And then there was like out of them 7 games, you had 5 league games as well. So and I think it must have been an intermediate cup game. So then you just started to see, because I remember I will. Like we have a really young squad, and we hadn't won. It was a six. I do remember. I remember very well because not that you're doubting yourself or you're doubting your players, but you just know they're a young team. We've got so many young players. Like we've three or four really good signings, experienced players. But I remember on the 16th of December we had drew with Queens. So on the 23rd we were home to Armagh. We hadn't won in four, and we were lying fifth in the league. But obviously we had the games in hand because of all the cup. But it was such a big game for me because we had the cup final 3 days later. if you don't win that, you're limping in the cup final way. Obviously, the younger players have a lot of self-doubt, and just what comes with football, it's natural. It doesn't matter what age you are, I suppose. But we really put on a really good performance against a top Armagh side, and then we came in the cup final, and I do remember really well because there's so many young players and so many experienced, like top experienced players that have carried the can. And my big message that day was like the young players that you're ready to win a trophy. This is we're not asking experienced players to do any more. It's your time. You're ready, and that's and to be fair, we won the cup final 3-0, and it's probably the most complete performance we had all season. But even just what you touched on there about the Korean Cup final, one on Briggs, it just makes you hungry for it. And it's just something I learned from Wankie Murphy, who's obviously a serial winner. And I just remember him saying when you won that first trophy, like you're hungry for your first trophy. And then this is what I've been telling my players going on that cup final, you need to be hungry, you need to be hungry. And then whenever you get hungry, I've just turned the word now into greedy. Like you just need to, once you get a taste of it, we just need more. Like you just don't want to be one of them players that one, put your feet up and relax and see a season out and think that you've got, because you have a little bit of silverware, you've got the job done. So I've just been battering this home for the last, well, since Boxing Day, really, and I will do it for the rest of the season. We just need to now be hung or greedy, sorry, hungry for your first, but just greedy for more now because, like, we had a brilliant day at the club after, and everybody was out, and like, I just thought it's really kicked us on because we went and a 7-game winning run at that time. So, like, winning trophies is there's no better feeling, really. So we just got to make sure we just continue, and hopefully, come the end of the season, there'll be a little bit more to look forward to.
Well, fingers crossed for you. I mean, I was having a look at your results. I mean, in August, you had a tremendous start. 15 goals the first two games, a 6-1 win over Tobermore, a 9-1 home win against Banbridge. You won 7-1 at Dollington, 6-0 at home to Tobermore. I mean, what a start. And then you beat Dundella in the League Cup. I mean, let's talk about the League Cup because you had that great win against Dundella. Very unfortunate to not only lose that Glenavon game. The League Cup, and obviously the Irish Cup as well, but certainly the League Cup. Just beating a side like Dundella, who at the time were leading the championship. I mean, that must have
Yeah,
given you guys some confidence as well.
it did, and it was. I think they had a man sent off just after half time, but we were 1-0 up at half time, and I do remember it very well. It was like I was so disappointed at half time because we had showed in so many wee spells whenever we were brave. I just keep telling the players to be brave and play. We had played some absolutely brilliant stuff, and it could have been 2 or 3 up, but like obviously with the championship side, they're going to have their spells. But I just thought it was their spells was from us giving away the ball cheaply or like not taking responsibility and not really passing the buck, but just expecting somebody else to do it. And the message the second half was like I was really disappointed at half time because yes, we were 1 up against the championship side, which was brilliant, but I just thought there was so much more in us and we just showed it in wee bits and spells, and I just wanted them to really get the shackles off. And like it's not often you play in a with no pressure, and luckily we got over the line. I just remember a lovely second goal that wee Luca Doherty done great work down the right and Joe tapped it on. But that game should have been, I don't think I'm speaking out of turn at all, Dundell. That game should have been long, killed long before then. But even on the start, as the start of the season, you're saying it was great. And as you said, you shouted out a load of results there. But like there was one in the League Cup and there was things again. But like we were, I do remember it well. We went to Donington, who are a good side, and I think we were missing a couple of players that day, to be fair. And we were so ruthless. It was like it wasn't a 7-1 game. There was 2-0 early on. They got a goal back, and I do remember that wee difficult spell before half time. But I remember when we going under the bar after, and I don't want to name them, but a couple of boys around our club had says to me, they were just 1-7-1 away from home, and the words was not in a bad way. There was no harm meant, but they didn't think we were as good as we were the week before when we just won 1-9. And I'm just thinking to myself, well, everybody needs to settle down here. Just somebody give me a one. Somebody just give me a 1-0 here, but. Listen, that I think Warren Point had a team for 7 earlier in the season. Queens went there after and had 5. I don't know what was going on there early on in the season, but I just don't see any of them results floating about now at the minute. It's just the league's really tightened up, and everybody's probably got to know it a little bit better. But listen, there's no doubt that it was a flying start, and we were playing some. Well, we still are playing good football. Don't get me wrong, but we were just the confidence was sky high there.
Yeah, I mean, I was speaking to Lee Forsyth, the Ballymacash Rangers manager, in one of my previous episodes of the show and highlighting their story and the journey that they've been on. And obviously, they had that game with Glentoran in the Irish Cup
Yep.
very recently as
Brilliant.
well. But, their story has been very good as well. And looking at the table now, I mean, there's only 9 points covers the top six. You mentioned Rathdrylland there. They've taken
Yep.
4 points off you this season. I mean, it
Yep.
just goes to show you that. If you could string a few results together, you can really start to take charge of this league. But I mean, of the sides you've played so far, I mean, who has been the best team that you've played?
Well, no doubt about it. Raph Ryland beat us 3-0. And listen, as I mentioned earlier, I take responsibility. We went the same team. We were flat as a pancake, but I couldn't have been any more impressed with them. Their energy was brilliant. Their shape was brilliant. They have a young, well, and I don't know what age he is, a number 7, Fitzpatrick, who's probably the best player I've came across at this level. And that's over my 2 spells. A great player and caused us a lot of trouble. And then we go up there a couple of weeks ago, and for 15 minutes, we were 1 up. And well, we should have had a penalty probably for 2, and we were I thought we were on we were probably playing the hottest we played for that 15 minutes, and then we gave away a poor goal, and from the rest of the game it was nip and tuck. And I wouldn't say I was glad to get out there for a point, but they had a big chance as well. They put over the bar, and we had a couple of nibbles at it as well. But like, if you were to ask me over the 2 games, they're like if they won their game in hand, I think they only go 6 behind. So they're undoubtedly the best side I've came across. But on the flip side, I'm hearing players or managers saying to me after all, you're the best we have faced. But if you're to go ask Raph Ryland about Limavady, I'm sure they're probably thinking, how the hell are they top of the league so much? Because over them 2 games, we probably haven't shown that the levels that we've shown throughout the rest. So it is a difficult league. And obviously, like every league, if you take your eye off the ball or you just lower your levels, I suppose you'll be fine wanting and you'll drop points. There's no doubt about that.
For those who don't know a lot about Limavady and particularly some of the players that play for the club, who would you say people should go out and do a little bit of scouting on? I mean, I'm not saying that for clubs to go and raid your team and buy some of your players, but just for a general overview more than anything else, because I was having a quick look at the goal scoring charts. I mean, Ian Parkhill and Alex Pomeroy both on 12 goals. Good shooting from those guys.
That's actually a league, and it's we've actually scored 93 goals, believe it or not, which there's no doubt we're well clear top in the, one of the top three leagues. Our current situation at the top, and our with cups included, that's a league what you're looking at. We have got two on
Yeah,
18,
it's a
one
league
of
story. Yes, that's right.
we've got two Alex and Joe on 18, with Parky at Ian Parkhill on 17, Lewis Torres on 12, and John Butcher on 10. So the front, there's no doubt the front players are firing. But in terms of if anybody wants to come and watch a player, they're all rubbish, they're all crap, and they'll be doing well to play at Limavady next year. So just stay away.
That
No,
reply.
I'm only joking. Listen, we've obviously your Joe McCready and Ian Parkhill, who have great careers. Joe was actually, he was a massive, massive part of our success the first time we were there. Graham Crown was there as well. Ian Parkhill, I've obviously worked with Corey, and it was, I had a real big push in the summer to get him on, not just because of the quality of him, the way he trains, the way he conducts himself, just his work rate, his energy, is just in around the change room. He's brilliant on and off the pitch. And then you've got young players, Lewis Tosh, who's had a really, really, really good season so far. He's gone from Corey in.
Yeah.
But even the likes of John Butcher, it's a young local player that's I wouldn't, well, probably could say I took a bit of a chance on because I hadn't seen a wild lot about him. But obviously people around here say, oh, he's a good player, he's this, he's that. And then you hear the usual, he's a rocket and all that stuff, which I never listened to anyway. But I've brought him on and he's in double figures already. And again, I think he represented Northern Ireland that wee junior match the other night. And the manager rung me after and he says he's cut in from 25 yards and put one in the top corner. But I don't know if that doesn't surprise me. He's got, I think he's only 20 as well. And Lewis Thorson Orion's only 18, or I think he's 19 now, actually. So, like, them two have got a bright future about them. So there's no doubt about that if they just really keep doing what they're doing. But listen, they're great lads, great attitudes, and the good thing, the best thing I'll say about these boys is they're all young and willing to learn. And this is probably the biggest difference I've found coming back. Whenever I was a player manager, I was like, obviously maybe 32, 33, and well, yes, you're a player, so you have a different relationship with them. But a lot of boys run around my age, and I knew them. Like my girlfriend's brother was there. There's boys that I'd played with before, but this time I'm coming back and they're 18, 19. I'm basically 41 now. So, and you don't have that relationship, so you do feel that you are 100% the manager now, rather than you don't have that, not a social life with them, but you just don't have that relationship, which helps and probably puts that little bit of divide and probably gives you that little bit more power over them, really. Then like, there's not a real friendship, like not power. That's probably the wrong word, but. But they probably look at you a little bit differently than they did in my first
No,
spell.
absolutely. Absolutely. And I think it's important to establish that relationship and that boundary as well, because I do
Yeah.
think it helps, your consistency with players as well. But Paul, it's been really great to chat with you. We're coming very close to the end of the show. I mean, obviously, probably the main goal now for the season for Limavady would be to get promotion to the championship. I mean, what have you made of the PIL and the way that it has been reconstructed this season? Because it seems to be that it's really brought out a lot of imagination in a lot of the clubs. There's certainly been a really strong battle at the top of the table. And a lot of people are beginning to buy into some of these clubs really going toe-to-toe with some big names, including the likes of Warren Point and Queen's University.
Well, I probably, if I'm being brutally honest, I've probably changed my opinion on it because, well, I remember Warren Poynter put on their league, which I didn't agree with, and I just remember it being misquoted on a newspaper that I wanted him to go to Loughwall or something, which is absolutely not what I wanted. I thought you either punish him or you don't punish him because you need a license. But like, whenever you're looking, I feel they should have just maybe done a point deduction. What's like, look what's happened to Everton and stuff like that. And I think
Absolutely.
Warren Poynter should 100% have just stayed in the championship. PSNI, whoever came last in our league, I think it was PSNI, should have
Yes,
got
it
the
was.
relegation. And, yep, I just don't feel why for Warren Points, like why not just keep them on them, give them a 6, 10 point, whatever you want to do, because then what it affected us is because we were having meetings all that season about going senior and coming out, sort of mirroring the championship and the Premier League, which do 38 league games. So we were sitting at that time with 12 teams, so we were just playing in 20, what would that be, 26 or whatever it was, and then we were doing a split, which the split was brilliant because the entertainment you have a split as you know, you're going head to head with the top teams and the games just become massive. So now what they've done with Warren Point, and again I'm sort of retracting from what I'm saying because that allowed the likes of Oxford Sunnyside to come up, and not Oxford, sorry, Rath Ryland and Coke, who both have been great additions to our league, don't get me wrong. Like that, so yes, on that thing it has worked well. But whenever I just think of the split, and I think of maybe around mid-March, wherever it may be, the split would have been, you've got one, you've a fight for the top six, one, you've head-to-heads, both top and bottom end of the table. We could now be going on there running for the last 5 or 6 games. You could be playing a team in fourth to maybe 10th, 11th, 12th. We may be thinking their season's done probably mid-February and out of all the cups, which, I could probably name 3 or 4 teams at the minute that are not like Lisburn Distillery, Portchurch, teams like that are probably not going to win the league and have no chance of being relegated. So that for like teams like that would have been great because I do remember last year Distillery playing at Corrie and Showground. So I'm guessing it might have been against Meola the last game before the split. Them happening to win to get in the top six. So they had that the aim for right up until the last 4 or 5 or last 3 or 4 weeks. But at this point, they're probably now just trying to see how high they can finish and what's the difference from finishing 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th. And I just thought it took that away, and again, the climax would be like we finished the season with away to Coke and away home to Tobermore, or vice versa, actually. Now, I'm by no means saying that we'll win them games. That's not exactly what I mean. But if we're lucky enough to be in a title race, and there was a split, you could have been playing your Warren Points, your Queens, your Ballymacclashes, with which obviously the crowds would be bigger, the attention would be bigger. The split, I'm a massive fan of the split, but. And again, just to sort of go back, like the two additions to the league this year have been Coke, who are in an excellent run, and Rath Ryland, who have just stated are the best team. So I do see the reason for that, but I just obviously put it on record because I remember Warren Point beat us and scored a late goal, and there was a journalist or whatever tweeted down there about my quote in the paper, but I'm not going to lie and bite back to that. But Mike, that was not exactly what I meant. That I'm not Warren Point over the wall. I feel they should have kept their status and maybe, well, 3 points, 6 points, 10 points, whatever you mean. And like, if you look, like, if I'm just thinking of Warren Point now, they've lost their manager, things like that. And maybe would that have happened if would Barry Gray still be there? Maybe if they run the championship, maybe we have 5, 6 point deduction. My opinion is they probably would still be there.
Yeah, and they've lost a lot of players as well. I mean, it is
Yeah,
quite a shame
exactly. So,
to them to Warren Point.
yeah, so I don't know what to think about it. Yes, it is an intriguing league, but I was a massive fan of the split. I do remember, like, even I think it was like our second or se the second league we won, we actually went toe to toe in Newry, and we went to Newry like on the Tuesday night before the last Saturday. And like, if we won, we won the league, and if they won, they were a point behind us going into the last day. Like, that's exactly like the attention going into that game and the
Absolutely.
pressures. And like, we were fortunate enough to win that night, but that potentially mightn't happen this year. If you're like, if I'm trying to chase a Warren Point or a Queen's Down and they're home to a team that's safe and they may be 1-3 or 4-0 at the end of the season. You know how it goes. I think the whole drama and like the Premier League are doing it, the Championship are doing it, and we had meetings all year about Championship 2, trying to be as professional as they can, and then all of a sudden they punish Warren Point and they punish all us by taking the split and they're bringing away. But
I mean,
listen,
last week. Last question to you, Paul. I mean, it's really, really good to hear your thoughts on that. And it is a balancing act with the BIL, and I think you made some and raised some valid points. And I think it's really, really interesting to hear that. Just last question to yourself: what's your own goals, not just for this season, but beyond?
That's a real hard question. I'm not like trying to dodge it or nothing. I don't mean that at all. Like the big reason I left Korean, I loved my job at Korean. The biggest reason was probably my home situation. That my girlfriend was pregnant, and obviously had a young child, and now I have a 10-year-old that I bring with him, just like Warren does with Lucas. So it's sort of my lifestyle. But I do like managing. I love like even doing my notes, doing everything that you do, leading into the game. That game feel, there's nothing better than that. But where I see myself or where I want to go, like everybody, I'm ambitious. I want my players to be ambitious. I want like one of my players had an interest from a championship side, and not that I wanted him to go, but absolutely no. I just made sure that he was sure, because I always think I don't want any regrets for me or my players as well. Like, so I want it. My first game is I want to get back on that championship. I love the 38 games. I love the Saturday, Tuesday, just league game. So us as a club, I want to make sure I'm in the championship. But like, I do see what Newry have done. I do see other clubs, Newry, sorry, maybe 5 6 years ago have done. Other clubs, are ambitious and can make that jump again. And I didn't just come back to Limavady to chill out for a couple of years because they're away. And it was, Limavady's board now is totally different. The club looks totally different. The plans are totally different. They're ambitious. They're every bit as ambitious as myself. So I'm under no illusions that I can't just lie here and relax. I do want to kick on. And my like even any player I sign them. Try to sign championship ready players. That's so if I get up, I don't want to go up and have to do a full reconstruction. I want to try and build something over a 3 4 year period here. But like you mentioned earlier, we beat Dundella, we beat who was it we beat again? Ballinamallard in that other cup. So we want to go as far as we can. So short term is obviously get us into that championship. But I don't see any reason why I'm not just going to line up my. I know how this manager game loses a couple of games, you get better at a job. But I would love to manage in the Premier League someday. But I know it's getting more difficult by the full time and all that stuff. But why not? Why not in
Yeah,
3 4 years' time?
keep dreaming.
Can Limavady push? Like, aye, why
Yeah,
not? Like, I want my
absolutely.
players to be ambitious, and I think it'd be a little bit naive of me to lie and think that I don't want to be in that Premier League, because I do back myself over anybody, and that's not an arrogance at all. It's just a confidence I have in myself. So I know I have a long way to go and a long way to prove, but hopefully it's one day. I would love to be in that Premier League. Yep.
Well, I wish you all the very best, not just for this season with Limavady, but for beyond. I think your enthusiasm and just sheer positivity has really rubbed off in the show, and I've thoroughly enjoyed listening to your stories, both at your time at Korean as a
Yeah, I enjoyed
player
it.
and also as a manager as well. And I want to wish you all the best for, as we're recording this, your upcoming game with Warren Point, and also for the rest of the season of the BIL. Paul Owens, thanks for coming on the Campbell's Footballs podcast.
No problem. Thank you. Thanks for having me. Bye. What a dangerous night to fall.